together to John chapter 1. John 1, and while you're turning there, let me mention a few things for you for our Christmas season right now. Today is the last day. If you want to order poinsettias in honor of someone or in memory of someone, you can grab those forms at the doors as you leave. You can drop your payment for that off at office. There's a little black box right outside the office door. You can drop your payment off for those poinsettias, and they will be in the sanctuary next Sunday, and you can pick them up right before Christmas to bring home if you would like. Also, a couple of events coming up. Our women's ministry this coming Tuesday, two different events for our women's ministry, our Women on Mission group that meets in the morning, a brunch at 10 a.m. The details about that are in the bulletin. And for our group that meets in the evenings, our MC Women group in the evenings, that'll be 6:30 this Tuesday for your Christmas gathering at the home of Sharon Steepen. All the information about that is in the bulletin as well. And our college Christmas party is coming up 1 week from today, next Sunday evening at 6:30 at the home of Matt and Allie Hall. Now, any questions about those locations, you can always call the church office, and Whitney will give you all the information that you need. And then finally, and really importantly for this season of year, especially in this week, you got these brochures as you came in, and these are really prayer guides for Lottie Moon and our missionaries, your missionaries who are all around the world. And so I hope you'll take this guide with you and pray through this over this next week. Pray for our missionaries who we're sending and we're supporting, who are all over the world. These are their stories and how you can pray for them. If you're interested in more of this kind of stuff, you can go to imb.org, International Mission Board, imb.org/pray. And there are real-time daily updates from our missionaries around the world. You can be praying for them. But take this, pray through this week. Don't forget also our Light of Moon post office right over here for our church members. You can give cards to one another. Make sure you check your folders. Bring home your Christmas cards today as well. John chapter 1, we began last week. And last week, our question was the question of the hymn, "What child is this?" And this week, our question is the question of Linus. You remember Linus and Charlie Brown? Someone asked, Charlie asked, "Can anybody tell me?" Charlie asked, "Can anybody tell me what's Christmas all about?" And Linus had the answer. And that's our question today, really. What's Christmas all about? This time of year, I was teaching our college class just a little bit ago, and I mentioned to them, just watch commercials right now. Watch commercials, and you'll see what, at least culturally, broadly speaking, we think that Christmas is all about. It's the Lexus with the big bow on top, right? You see what Christmas is all about. A lot of images of tables and family and food, or you think about decorations, you think about gifts and presents, you think about time together, you think about tradition. What is Christmas all about? We center Christmas around a lot of things. We center Christmas around a lot of really good things. But this morning, what I want us to remember is this. Christmas is about the mission. Christmas is about the mission, and it's always been about the mission. From the very beginning, there's a lot of other things, a lot of other good things that Christmas can be. We can give time to at Christmas. Lots of fun things, heartwarming things, traditional things, cultural things, all kinds of things. But when we talk about what it's really all about, we can't neglect and we can't overlook the fact that Christmas is really all about the mission. And that's what we see when we turn again to John's gospel. We'll read these first 18 verses again. And today we're going to focus on verses 6 through 8. So look at God's word with me in John 1. And then keep your copy of God's word open. We're going to look at a couple other places in John later on. But John 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Christmas is about the mission. Christmas is about the mission because Christmas is about the light shining in the darkness. That's what we saw last week. This Word of God who is the Son of God, who is the light and life of men. This light that is shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And this week what we'll see is that really John the writer of this book here in John 1 verse 6 through 8 that we'll focus on, John the writer of this book, he seems like he's taking a detour. When we read this section, we begin with the Word who was with God and the Word who was God, and we keep reading, we find that he's the true light, verse 9, he became flesh, verse 14. We have this section right here in verse 6 through 8 that it seems like John's taking a detour. And he begins talking about another John, a different John, not the John who wrote this book, a John who many of us who grew up in church, you know this John as John the Baptist. He's never called John the Baptist in John's gospel. He is in the other gospels, but John, the writer of this book, never refers to himself by name, so he can simply say John. And when he says John in verse 6 and verse 15, he's referring to John the Baptist. And John, the writer of this book, that's going to get confusing. Now, John, the writer of this book, is taking this little detour here, and he's going to, maybe it feels like a little rabbit trail in these three verses, and really, though, it's not a waste of words. John has a purpose here, and what he's doing in John 1, 6 through 8 is he's turning our attention, and he's introducing an important topic that he's going to return to later on in his gospel. He'll return to these topics again that we'll focus on today. Words like sent and witness, and not the light, and the one who is the light. And as we turn our attention to them, John is focusing us on what's at the heart of this first Christmas, and really all Christmas, and what's maybe the most overlooked aspect of Christmas today. That Christmas is really, from the beginning, all about the mission. So let's pray, and let's see that together in God's Word. God, we ask you to shine light now in our hearts as we think about your Word together. Give us understanding that we may live. And help us, God, to live faithfully in response. And help us, God, to take your Word and bring it to others around us. Help us to live in light of this mission. We pray this for your glory. Jesus, you are worthy of glory. We pray this for your glory. Amen. John 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. If you're reading through this passage, I hope you note the contrast. We began last week, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here in verse 6, we read not the Word, but now there's a man. He's just a man. He's really not much different than us. He's just a man. John was the man who was sent before Christ, to be the forerunner for Christ. He's the fulfillment of a prophecy, one who would make way, the way of the Lord. John was Jesus' relative. He was born to to Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. He was born before Jesus was. He's a few months older than Jesus. John was Jesus' relative who came to make way, the way of the Lord, to make the hearts of people ready for the Lord. And this man, John's gospel tells us, John, he was sent from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. We need to see that Christmas, as we think about Christmas being about the mission, Christmas is about being sent. Christmas is about being sent, sent. So someone who has been sent out at the command of another, someone who's sent out for the purpose given to them by another, someone who's going out to speak the words of another for another, sent. Like an ambassador who's been sent as the representative for his nation to another nation. He's been commissioned. He's on a mission. He's going for a specific purpose on behalf of another. Sent. So kids, we've got extra kids in here with us today as in December not having kids worship. So kids, sent. This is like when your teacher, kids, give you a note in class, and they ask you to go up to the front office and bring this note to the front office, right? And you go and you take the note, and this time is not a time to, just so you know, public service announcement, kids, it's not a time to go roam the hallways, right? It's not a time to go get extra recess and go out to the playground. It's not a time to look indoors and wave. Miss Morrison's like, don't look indoors and wave. It's not a time to do those things. You've got a task, right? The teacher has given you a note, and you're to go to the front office, and you're to give it to the lady. You've been sent out for a purpose. You've been entrusted to deliver this message, sent. I've been sent to the grocery store a few times, and sometimes I'm successful when I'm sent. Sent, right? It's this word that we get the word apostles from in the New Testament. It's connected to that. They're the sent ones. Sent and send, it's a key word in John's gospel. If you study through John's gospel, you'll see the word sent and send over and over and over again. And John, even though it's connected to the idea of apostles, he doesn't restrict it just to that. He says John the Baptist was sent, like Moses before him, who we saw all year as we walked through Exodus. You remember the beginning of Exodus, Moses was a man who was sent from God. Like the prophets who were before him, John was sent from God, but it's not just John the Baptist. This idea is being introduced here of someone who's sent from God early on, because John's going to keep returning, and he's going to primarily refer to someone being sent. He's going to primarily be talking about Jesus. Jesus was sent from God. John chapter 3 tells us that. We know John 3:16. Think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. But then the passage keeps going. Verse 16, we'll start there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. In verse 17, he says that God did not send. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but he did send his son in order that the world would be saved through him. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. It's not just John 3:17. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. John chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus says, my teaching, the things that I'm saying, it's not mine, but it's the teaching of him who sent me. John chapter 8, verse 29, he says, him who sent me is with me, and I do the things that are pleasing to him. But it's not just there. You can go through John's gospel, and what you'll find is that when we begin really considering the life of Christ, John chapter 2 and John chapter 13 are the only ones that include a verse, that passage that tells us that Jesus was specifically sent by God. John 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17 all tell us that Jesus was sent. Jesus came for a purpose, to accomplish a specific work. So last week we thought about this manger, and we said when we see this manger, you see a manger scene at Christmas, you remember this isn't just any baby, that this is God. And this week we're saying when you see this manger, you see a manger scene at Christmas, you remember that this baby, God in the flesh, Jesus the Messiah, he was sent on a mission for a purpose to accomplish a specific task. That Jesus came because Jesus was sent. The mission is at the heart of Christmas. What's that mission? Well, John chapter 1, verse 9 calls Jesus the true light. He's the true light. John 1, verse 5 gives his mission, the mission of Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the mission. That Jesus, as the true light, would come into the world to shine into the darkness that is here in the world, not just in the world, but the darkness that's in me because of my sin, and the darkness that's in you because of your sin. Our sin that we inherited by virtue of being born, our sin that we've chosen to embrace by our actions and our attitudes and our thoughts and our words that are contrary to God and to the things of God. Darkness. We're looking for ways out of darkness. All of us are looking for ways out of darkness. We're trying to earn our way out of darkness, or we're trying to forget the darkness that's within us, and we're trying to just find other things to just... But we'll never do it on our own. But the light has come. The light has come to overcome that darkness, and that light is Jesus, who came to give himself for that darkness, to give himself for that sin, to die in our place. Jesus was born for Good Friday. Christmas is about Easter. Jesus was born to live a perfect life and to die the death that we should have died in our place. Church, we need to hear this again and again and again, that there is forgiveness. There's rescue. And it's in Christ. We don't escape our need for the gospel. That's what Christmas is all about, this mission that Jesus came to save you from your sins, to save us from our sins. This mission, the light shines in the darkness. We receive this by faith, this mission. Jesus was sent for this. It's not just Jesus, though. It's not just Jesus who was sent in John's gospel. And it's not just John the Baptist who was sent in John's gospel. Really, all of this, I really believe John is building a case. He's building and building and building this case throughout his gospel. And it's really all background for a very important verse right at the very end of John's gospel. John 20, verse 21. We'll put it up for you. John 20, verse 21. Jesus says this. He says, "As the Father has sent me, even so, I'm sending you." Jesus to the disciples, to the early church. Really, this has been passed down now to all of us. Jesus is saying to you, just as God the Father has sent him, so also he's sending us. John was sent, Jesus was sent, and in the same way, we have been sent. We've been sent. Christmas is about the mission. Christmas is about being sent for John the Baptist, for Jesus Christ, and for us. We've been sent. We've been sent. You've been commissioned, church. What have we been sent for? Maybe it's what we're asking. What have we been sent for? That's what I ask myself often when I go to Ingles, when I go to the store. What am I here for? I'm supposed to get something. And my problem is that I lose focus and I get distracted because usually I'm hungry. Almost always I'm hungry. Usually I'm hungry, and so I start just going after other things, and I forget what I'm there for, and I'm distracted, and I lose focus. Maybe I'm the only husband like that. But we ask, what are we sent for? What are we sent for? What should we keep our focus on? Well, we could ask, what was John sent for? What was John sent for? Look down with me again at God's Word, John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. In verse 7, if you're reading from the New American Standard or the NIV, you'll read, so that he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, so that, here's the purpose, why? So that all might believe in Christ, that all might believe through him. Christmas is about being sent, and Christmas is about bearing witness. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe. It's pointing to another. Christmas is about being sent and bearing witness. It's pointing to another, witness. Now, if you grew up in the church, this term is familiar to you. Witness, we think about witness. Maybe some of us used to go out and witness on Monday evenings or Tuesday evenings. This term is familiar to us, but others, witness. Right? It's like what used to happen in the Braves game when it started raining. You're watching baseball and all of a sudden Matlock is on and you're in a courtroom, right? And it's a courtroom term where someone is testifying to something that they've seen or heard, something that they've experienced, and now they're speaking of it. They're bearing witness. They're telling us about what they know to be true. That's one of the ways that it's used in Scripture. But also in their culture, you could use bear witness to talk about what you had experienced, but also bear witness would be used to speak just truth about convictions, to speak truth about those things, the spiritual things that you know to be true from Revelation. So much of the New Testament is on the first use, the things that you've seen or heard. So Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4, the disciples, the early church, they have been told, they've been brought in for questioning by the authorities, and they're told, don't talk anymore about Jesus. You hush it about this Jesus guy. And you remember what Peter and John said? They said, look, we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. We've got to witness about the things we know to be true. That's how it's usually used in Scripture. But John here is in the other category. John is speaking about things that these convictions, these things that he knows to be true, has been revealed to him by God. He's really speaking in advance. He's bearing witness before it happens of the things that are coming. That's what he was sent for, to bear witness, to testify, to speak the truth. What does it take for you to bear witness? What does it take for you to go to your neighbors and tell them about Jesus? What does it take for you to speak up about those convictions that you have from the Word of God? What does it take? We consider John's life, we see that it takes this, rooted in these biblical convictions, this boldness to have this bold witness, and a whole lot of humility. A whole lot of humility. So let's look down in John chapter 1 and verse 19, and I'm going to read some more in John 1 and then in John 3. And I want you to notice the humility and notice the biblical convictions and notice the bold witness of John. John 1, verse 19, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but he confessed. He freely confessed. He's not denying it. So John has this ministry of baptism. He's baptizing in the wilderness. And when we read in the other Gospels that all the nation is coming, everybody's coming to John. His popularity is high. And they say, who are you? Who are you? And John confessed, and he did not deny, look, it's not about me. It's not about me. He confessed, and he did not deny, but he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? Are you the Christ? It's another way of asking really the same thing. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. So they said, who are you? We got to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. In verse 29, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The job of the witness is to recognize that his job is to point to another. His job is to point to another. "Behold, this is the Lamb of God. He's the one who has come to give himself as a sacrifice, to give himself in the place of our sins. He's the one who's come to take away our sins." The job of the witness is to point to another. John chapter 3, flip with me there, verse 22. Jesus has just met with Nicodemus in John 3. He's just told Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." It says after this in verse 22, "Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison." Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. They came to John and they said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness." He's talking about Jesus. Right? So John's got his disciples, and now Jesus is over here, and Jesus and his disciples are baptizing, and John's disciples say, "Look, everybody's going to Jesus." John's guys are coming to him saying, "They're all going away to him. What about us?" Verse 27, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." And look at verse 30. "He must increase, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease." So how do we, like John, live sent? We cultivate biblical convictions. We cultivate a bold witness, and we cultivate a lot of humility. It's to live the life of someone who's walking with Jesus daily in his word and in prayer and in community with his people, and then simply testifying to what we've seen and heard in his word and in prayer and in community with his people. It's to live the life of someone who is continually deflecting praise to self and turning attention to where it's due to Jesus. Say, it's not about me. It's about him. To recognize that I'm at the service of someone whose shoe, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe. It's to live in humility and point to another. It's to recognize that all I have not earned. I've received it. To say and affirm that he must increase and I must decrease. And that humility, of course, is not just John. That's Jesus. Philippians 2, the God who took on flesh and became a man and became a servant and became obedient to the point of death on a cross. That's what the mission is, God taking on the form of a servant. Christmas is about the mission, to bear witness to the light, to testify to the light. So let me end with this. What does this mean for us? I want to just bring this back here for just a minute to close with some application here and tie back into some of what we've discussed already this morning and what we've been talking about for the last couple weeks. What does this mean for us? You know, as you get ready for Christmas, so maybe you're decorating or maybe you've already decorated, and as you're getting ready for Christmas and you're making your plans for Christmas and you're inviting people over and you're getting everything set, there are billions of people around the world who have no idea what we're doing. There are billions of people around the world who have no idea what Christmas is all about. They've had no John the Baptist. They've had no missionary. They've had no church. And therefore, as of right now, they have no Jesus. Right now, about 41% of the world's population, that's about 3.19 billion people, have zero access to the gospel. They do not know the name Jesus. They have no way to hear about what he's done for them. There is literally no one there to tell them. And so two weeks ago, we set a goal as a church. We're praying that in the next 5 years that we will send someone from this fellowship, someone or some family from our church to an unreached place or an unreached people around the world to go tell them about Jesus. That's our goal, and I want you to pray with us for that goal, that we would send someone to a place where there's no one right now telling them about Jesus, that we would send someone. Why? Because Christmas is about the mission. This is about the mission. The light shines in the darkness. The light goes to the dark places. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christmas is about the mission. That number of unreached, those billions who don't know the name of Jesus, that's why we give to Lighty Moon. That's what the Lighty Moon Christmas offering is all about, because for generations now, I mean, all of you who've grown up in this church or other Southern Baptist churches, you've grown up knowing the name Lighty Moon, because for generations we've recognized the need to set aside a time to focus on international missions and to give towards international missions, because Christmas, we do this at Christmas because we've recognized for generations that Christmas is about the mission. And so the Lighty Moon offering, Rhett mentioned earlier, next week is our focus day of giving. It means that in our service we'll have a time where families can come forward and give as an act together, but you can give all month long in your envelope. You can give online at mountaincreekbc.org/give. All these ways to give towards Lighty Moon, but our goal as a church this year is $10,000. $10,000. And every penny of that will go to important work overseas. Last year, we gave right at $9,000. 2 years ago, we came close to 10. 2 years ago, we gave $9,600. I'd love to see us go above 10,000 this year, because Christmas is about the mission. But let me just be real honest. I don't think 10,000 is enough. I think Zane told us a few weeks ago that the average cost for a family to live on the seas for a year, annual cost for a family supported by us and our churches to live overseas to take the gospel is $62,000 a year. Man, what if we gave half of that? What if we said we're going to own it, where we're going to give half a year for somebody? And as a church, we gave $31,000. I know that sacrifice. I know that would be sacrificial giving, but it really wouldn't be as much as you might think. All of our families gave $200. That would do it. And some of our families can't give $200. And some of our families can give a lot more than $200. But for this year, what if you just, as you prayed this week about giving, what if you just asked God, or what if you just sought your most expensive gift that you're going to give this year at Christmas? Could you give that much to Lighty Moon? Could you also give that much to make the gospel known to the ends of the earth? We've received so much from God. Let's be generous to give, to make the gospel known. This is why we give, because Christmas is about the mission. It's about being sent to the nations, and it's about being sent to our neighbors. So we talk a lot about 6 and 10 right here, our nearest neighbors, 6 and 10 who are not connected to a local fellowship, 6 and 10 who are not connected to a church. So not only do the nations not know, but honestly, as we drive around and we see the Christmas lights on houses, most of our neighbors don't know why we're doing this, what this is really all about. Christmas is about being sent, and it's about the mission. Would you pray for your neighbors as you drive, and would you look for opportunities? Would you invite some over? Would you go to them? Maybe you're not yet having intentional conversations. Maybe you're just laying the groundwork to have those conversations later. But Christmas is about the mission. Let's leverage this time of year to engage our neighbors with the gospel of Christ. And let's keep that on the forefront of our minds. We set a goal. We set a goal 2 weeks ago to increase our gospel conversations every single year for the next 5 years, and to have 100 gospel conversations by Easter. Let's begin. Let's get going on sharing the gospel with our nearest neighbors, because Christmas is about the mission. Because Christmas is about Christ. Would you bow?